Good morning, everyone. My name is Father Dan Schlegel. I'm the Vicar for Clergy and Religious for the Diocese of Cleveland. And joining me today as my mentor and colleague is Sister Rita Mary, who is the head of the Secretariat for Parish Life for the Diocese of Cleveland. And before I reflect on the homily, I have an announcement to read to you, the difficult one that maybe you have already heard about in the media, but nonetheless has to be read at all the weekend masses this weekend. And it is this: the Reverend Anthony J. Sugar, a priest of the Catholic Diocese of Cleveland, has been placed on administrative leave as a result of an accusation that he engaged in sexual misconduct involving a minor several decades ago at another parish. The Diocesan Review Board conducted an initial assessment of the allegation and found it to have at least a semblance of truth, that is, that the accusation is not manifestly false, and recommended that Father Sugar be placed on administrative leave while it conducts a full investigation of the accusation. While on administrative leave, Father Sugar is unable to function in any capacity as a priest anywhere. He has been on personal leave of absence since the 16th of November, 2018. Father Sugar previously served in the following parishes: Parochial Vicar, Immaculate Conception, Akron, from 1977 to 1980, Parochial Vicar of St. Augustine Parish, Cleveland, from 1980 to 1988, Parochial Vicar St. Raphael Parish, Bay Village, from 1988 to 1993, Parochial Vicar of St. Malachy Parish, 1993 to 1994, and pastor here at St. Malachy's from 1994 until the present. The Catholic Diocese of Cleveland is committed to protecting children and to promoting healing for those harmed as a result of sexual abuse by a member of the clergy. And any person wishing to report clerical sexual abuse, or as those simply seeking help, can reach the confidential Diocesan Response Service by phone at 216-334-2999 or by email at response_services@dioceseofcleveland.org. We know this is difficult news, and Sister and I are here today to talk to you after Mass, to pray with you. Also, there will be a public meeting and prayer service on Tuesday evening at 7 o'clock here in the church, and we hope that you will join us as we pray together for Father Tony, for victims, and also for one another, and to support one another through this difficult time. Years ago, my seminary professor, Father Bill Padovic, said to me, "Dan, in order to be a good preacher, it means that you have to have the scriptures in one hand and a newspaper in the other." In other words, that the realities of life have to connect to the scriptures' message, to Jesus' message in the here and now for all of us, for our lives as we are currently living it. And the Bible connects those stories, and what we do here at the liturgy connects to those stories, to the stories of children who have experienced abuse from trusted leaders and clergy and teachers, to realizations that bring to our hearts deep grief and brokenness and unbelief and horror. And so the task of preaching today is probably more daunting than it's ever been, because we are a parish who's hurting, and we are a people who are filled with more questions than answers, fears and hopes and angers and frustrations and sorrows. There are so many emotions that we feel during these difficult days. And we also hurt because someone that we love is hurting too. Someone who has been a wonderful shepherd and a friend, one who could see beyond judging people and their exterior, and one who accepted people where they were and help them to be something more. But I would also venture to say that sometimes God's timing is right. And as we celebrate this Eucharist today and the feast of the body and blood of Christ, it's perhaps the very message of the Eucharist that can bring to each of our hearts the healing and the inspiration that we need as we attempt to hold the scriptures in one hand and the newspaper in the other. Because somehow the church has to hold together the strangest of paradox, praying for victims and perpetrators, praying for the sinless and the sinful, for the accused and the wounded. And that's sometimes a difficult thing to do at the same time, and a seemingly impossible task. But I would suggest to all of us today that there are three simple words prayed at every single Mass that may be able to help us as we celebrate the Feast of Corpus Christi today. And those three words and three actions are blessed and broken and given. You see, when Jesus gathered his disciples together for the Last Supper, more than his words alone, he wanted the actions, the ritual of the Eucharist broken, to be a sign and a reminder that he is present with us always. When the bread is broken at this table, when the cup is raised at this table, when the Word of God is read and broken open to us at the table of the Word. And so first Jesus took bread and then he blessed it. Now to bless something means that it is set apart for a holy purpose. It means that each of us, despite our weaknesses, despite our imperfections, despite our sinfulness, that God continues to be faithful even in the midst of our own brokenness and our weakness. God still chooses us and works through us despite ourselves. Like St. Paul reminds us in Romans 8, nothing can separate us from the love of God that comes to us through Christ Jesus. When you think about blessing, I think about St. Malachy as a parish that is set apart, in many ways an intentional parish community that from its very beginning has taken your blessing and has been a blessing for others. Early on in the history of this parish, serving the immigrant community, but continuous throughout your long history, serving the poor and the disenfranchised and the lonely and those who are on the fringe and those who are hurting. You have been a community and continue to be a community where everyone is welcome and where those who don't feel as if they fit in at other places and other churches have found a warm welcome in all of you. And I would say to you that the greatest disservice would be for the suffering of the present time to minimize our call to serve God's people. Because I know how many people count on you as a parish community to care for them in their greatest need. And sometimes the greatest personal healing, I know it has been true in my own life, the greatest personal healing comes from being able to look beyond ourselves to the needs of the other and to be able to help others even when we are hurting. And I believe that the greatest honor that we have been able to give to leaders, people like Father Tony and Father Ritz, have been to continue on that mission of service and generosity that has been the hallmark of this parish family. The second action or word that Jesus did was to break the bread. Breaking. Yeah, it's amazing to think in many ways all that has to break in order for bread to be made. Wheat is harvested and then it is crushed and ground into a powder that's mixed with other ingredients to make it what it is. Yeast is added to dough, which helps the bread to rise. But that takes time. Leavened bread takes time for the wheat to be transformed into something more. And you can't rush the process. Grapes are taken and violently crushed and juiced and purified and mixed to create a blend which is fermented and matured over time, eventually becoming rich wine. The simple is transformed into the profound. A little is changed and develops into an abundance. Brokenness is something this community knows so well. You've had a rich history, but also sometimes a troubling history. I saw the pictures in the sacristy of the church as it was burning down, and how it was rebuilt with love and generosity. That brokenness you witness on the streets around you. You witness it at the back door of the rectory. You witness it on the faces of people who are hurting. You have welcomed those who are sick and mentally ill. And we experience it in our own brokenness, in our own questions, in fears, and doubt, and anger, and hurt. But here's the thing about brokenness, is that it doesn't end in the brokenness. We would be in greater trouble if we ended at Good Friday and didn't have the glory and the joy of Easter Sunday. Wheat is eventually transformed into bread. Grapes are slowly changed into wine. And so too, I believe it is with our church and with each one of us. It's a process. It's a process of being broken. It's a process of being transformed. It's a process of becoming new. Jesus understood that death was necessary for rising to new life. He submitted to the suffering in order to transform it into something new. Richard Rohr says these words, "Pain that is not transformed is transmitted. Pain not transformed is transmitted." There are too many people today in our world who have transmitted their pain rather than transformed it into something more. But I can tell you from the reality of my own life that suffering, when it becomes redemptive, creates for us a deeper empathy and understanding and compassion. And pain that becomes transformed becomes a hope of what is possible, even in the midst of the darkest of situations. In the final word, the final action of Jesus at the Eucharist was to be given, to be poured out. In many ways, someone said once that the most important word of the Mass is at the end of the Mass when the deacon or the priest says, "Go." Because what we celebrate here as church is called to be a leaven for the world around us. And we have been given to that world. We have been called and missioned forth from this church to go forth and to be the body and the blood of Christ for our world. Just as we have been blessed and broken and given so that the world might know the hope, the peace, the joy that comes from knowing Jesus Christ. A few years ago in 2012, Pope Francis said these words, "We need to avoid the spiritual sickness of a church that is wrapped up in its own world. When a church becomes like this, it grows sick. It is true that going out onto the street implies a risk of accidents happening, as they would to any ordinary man or woman. But if the church stays wrapped up in itself, it will age. And if I had to choose between a wounded church that goes out onto the streets and a sick, withdrawn church, I would definitely choose the first one." Blessed, broken, given. Three simple words and actions that summarize the Eucharist. three simple words that we hold in our hearts as we contemplate difficult news, but also three simple words that can transform our sorrow into healing, our doubt into belief, our fear into trust, and even eventually our death into new life.